It's an all-ladies choir. We'd like to invite all ladies to come up. You can help us look good anyway, so come on up.
Thank you. Boy, that song, Where We Never Grow Old. What a thought. I take that at the all the pains of getting old be gone too, don't you? Praise the Lord for that. If our ushers to come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Jay, would you ask the blessing over the offering?
This next song we're going to do is just so much to thank him for. And our Heavenly Father's down here. Thank you. Thank you for being a godly example. But most of all, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for saving me. What an amazing God, amazing Savior.
Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in you concerning Christ Jesus. So we're to thank him, aren't we? Praise the Lord. What a tremendous song. Good job. Didn't they do a good job? Let's give them applause. Now, Gary, I kind of think they sounded better than us guys. We want to recognize some fathers today, and we thank you, every one of you, for being here. And we want to recognize the oldest father today. Is there any older than 81? Any? That don't count, no. Well, Brother Harvey, you've got it. Brother Harvey, would you stand up? We want to recognize the youngest father. This one I figured you'd be, he's already starting to stand up, ain't he? The youngest father, do we have any younger than 30? Any fathers younger than 30? Okay. All right. Rob, you stand up, man. I was looking for you and couldn't find you. Now, this and me get tricky today. Who's got the most children present today? Does any have four present today? Does any have three present today? Okay. You know you's going to get with, okay, we got two of them. All right. Both of you stand. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I believe that's all special ones we recognize. I do want to recognize all of our fathers today. All our fathers stand. Amen. We appreciate you and thank you so much. There's things I learned from my mom, but a lot of things I learned from my dad, and it was the rougher things. He taught me to work and taught me a lot of the other things like that. He showed me what calluses was. I've had them since I've been a boy, and I thank the Lord for that. Sister Donna's going to come and share a song with us just before the message today.
Pastor didn't get to hear this a couple weeks ago, so you all get double dose. Ha ha. Oh, I thank God he saved no sinner like me. I'm so unworthy. But he loves me anyway.
On the street. glad he saves old sinners. Praise the Lord. So thankful to thank the Lord for everything being done. Every handshake, every neck that's been hugged, the lessons taught, the song sung, everything. We just thank the Lord for the offering and everything. Isn't he good to us? We're a blessed people. I'm so glad to be part of this church. I feel very blessed to be here and thank the Lord for it, for sending us here. If you would stand with me, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Might be a different Father's Day message, but it's one the Lord's laid on my heart, so I won't preach you. I titled it, jotted down, My Dad's the Best. My Dad's the Best. And I thank the Lord for my earthly father, but boy, I'm sure more thankful than ever for my heavenly father. Luke 15, starting at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Father, I'm so thankful, God, for our Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, for what the call upon our lives. And God, that you sent your only Son to die on the cross that we could have eternal life. And Father, I'm so thankful to be a participant of that. And I have accepted the free gift of salvation. And now I am a son of the living God. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been saved. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. I've been sanctified. I'm on my way to heaven. Heaven and glory, hallelujah, thank you for them blessings. And Father, we ask you to touch us in this service, pray for the moving of the Spirit of God, and Lord, have your way as we talk about fathers on Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. A little boy was asked to define Father's Day. And he said, well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much money. Paul Harvey defined Father's Day as fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so that they can have children smarter than anybody else's. And I was thinking about little boys, and this is one I'd heard a long time ago. Three little boys was talking about their dads, bragging on their dads, and one said, well, my dad makes a lot of money. He said he'll write down a few words on a piece of paper and call it a poem and get $100 for it. Another little boy said, well, that's nothing. My dad writes a few words down on a piece of paper and calls it a song, gets $1,000 for it. And that third boy said that y'all are nothing. My dad writes a few words down on a piece of paper and calls it a sermon. It takes 6 or 8 men to collect all the money. So thinking about our fathers today, but I want to think and just concentrate a little bit on the Heavenly Father. Concentrate on him. I always said my dad, My dad was 6'4", weighed 290 pounds, the stoutest man I ever met, and I didn't bat eye when I said, my daddy can whoop your daddy. I always believed my daddy was my hero. But I tell you, my heavenly Father, boy, I tell you, he's awful special to me. And I thank him for everything that he's done in my life. And we're familiar with this story of the prodigal. And as we're looking about it, we know that he had asked, and he said, Dad, I wished you was dead. It's pretty much what he said. I wish you was dead so I could have my inheritance. I don't care if you're around for me to enjoy. I don't care. I just want the money, and I just assume you was dead. That is what, in this day and time, is what he was saying to his father. His father went ahead and said, okay, here you go. And he took off and spent it. And he joined himself after he got into the far country that he spent all his money. And while he had a pocket full of money, he had oodly gobs of friends. I don't know you, but I've been there. How about you? And while things was good, he had plenty of people around him. But he went into the far country. And the far country, what he did was went to far away from the influence of his earthly father and tried to get away from the far influence of the heavenly father. He got as far away of the things he'd been taught, as far away of the principles of God. He'd tried to get as far away of the things that he had been taught from birth and raised up, and that he tried to run from God in his life. There's a lot of folks do this. There's a lot of folks that goes to the far country. But let me take just a minute and just stop right here a second and tell you, but I'm glad for the elder brothers that stick in and that never leave. He might have had a bad attitude toward the end, but he stayed there. He was in the fields and he's with his daddy the whole time. Boy, thank God for the elders that stayed. But I want to get back, and he went into the far country trying to get away from the influence. The partying turned into wanting. He ran out of money. He ran out of the good times. The Bible says there's joy in sin for a season. Then there's a payday. Then there's a beckoning day. There's a day that it'll end, and it'll be a tough time when you get to the end of the joy that's in it. He joined up with this friend, and he sent him to the field to feed swine. Now, for anyone, feeding swine was the worst job that you could have. And if you've never raised hogs, you can't appreciate that. But for a Jew, feeding a swine was unimaginable. You pick the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your life, and that would be you feeding swine if you was a Jew in this day and time. He had gone the furthest that he could ever go. He was at the end of the rope. He was gone as far as he could ever go. He had got to the point where he was feeding hogs. Wow. The thing about this, when he left with a pocket full of money, and when he left to having a big time, he never thought there was ever a chance that he'd be feeding pigs. I don't think he'd have left, Brother Jim, if he thought he'd have ever been feeding swine. Not only feeding them, but wanting what they're eating. He had got to that point. What'd be worse than feeding them is eating with them. And when he left, I guarantee you that he said, I'll never get there. Oh, I might sow a few oats, But I'll be okay. I'll come on back before it gets, but before I get too far. Boy, I tell you what, you ever been coon hunting? I've just hit a tree right there. And we think, and a lot of folks that thinks, and they think today, that, well, I sow a few wild oats, and I'll go have a good time, and I'll get along, and I'll tell you, and we never know what we sow into. It may take us to the end, to the hogs, to the slopping the hogs. Preacher, I'll never go there. You got to be careful. That's why Alfred Cutshaw always said, if you never take that first drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. That's the best advice I ever heard. Because you never know when you start nipping, you may be the next one out on Skid Row. This is where he ended up. When he thought it couldn't get any worse, his nourishment that he was getting was not good enough, and he was wanting what the hogs eat. These were probably carob pods. It's kind of like beans. It was nourishment. It was for cattle and hogs, and for the poorest of people that couldn't afford anything else would eat them and get a little nourishment out of it. And I want to go back at this father of everything that I read, evidently had a lot of possessions. He had gone from the palace to the pig pen. His father had hired servants. He had, of course, we see, had cattle, had a lot of things. He had gone, wasted his life, and was now at the end of his rope. Sin will take you to the very bottom. It'll take you farther than you ever thought you'd go. Keep you longer than you ever thought it'd stay. And destroy, ever take everything you got. I know of people that got involved in sin and they've lost everything that they've got. Successful folks. Sometimes it's alcohol. Well, it's nothing wrong with taking a drink, preacher, every now and then. Hogwash, that's a lie right out of the pits of hell. The Bible, there's too many scriptures in the Bible that tells you specifically you need to stay away from that mess. I grew up in a house, and he's a good man. He's a hard worker. He worked every day, and he provided for me. But I will tell you one thing. My daddy was an alcoholic, and he drank every day, and everything was good most of the time. But there'd be days that it wasn't so good. And my daddy was a good man, and I'm not saying nothing about him. But I'm going to tell you that poison is right out of the pits of hell and will destroy you, will destroy your family, and bring peace to a whole. The Bible says that the Bible talks about priests are not supposed to drink alcohol. Also, kings, in the book of Proverbs, you're not supposed to drink alcohol. If you go to the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible relates Christians as kings and priests. I tell you what, kings and priests are above drinking, and I'll tell you, my preacher ain't nothing wrong with a little nip. Don't take that first drink, and you won't never be an alcoholic. Drugs are the ruination of this nation. Had a man tell me, he's in the law enforcement not too long ago, he said almost every crime is associated somehow with drugs. They're doing crimes to get them, or they're doing something on them. It's a result of it as when they get together or something, but almost all of them is related somehow to drugs. This area... Now put your seatbelt on, is the capital for them. We are the capital. I learned this at the Will Graham Crusade. more babies are born addicted to drugs in this area than anywhere in the United States. We've got a problem. Preacher, this is Father's Day. You're supposed to have one of them good gushy messages. I just got to be obedient. You better stay away from the drugs. You better stay away from the alcohol. Well, let me say, you better stay away from sin in general. As I was studying and I was praying and I asked the Lord, and He gave me these things to jot down. I jotted them right down as He gave them to me. He gave me alcohol, drugs, and then He gave me pornography. Might say, preacher, when we get it here, it winds up here. What goes through the eyes goes to the heart. And what's in the heart comes out sooner or later. And it may be by the ways of alcohol, it may be by drugs, it may be by pornography, but it may be by the ways of fornication. Premarital sex. It's as wrong. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that marriage is honorable above all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. Adultery. The marriage bed is for one husband and one wife, one man and one woman, and that's it. When you say I do, you did, and you did until you die. I'm losing y'all. Preacher, we wasn't expecting this today. Well, huh? And another one's gambling. Now, preacher, you've quit preaching on the meddling. I worked with some guys when I was on the road. Work all week, honest. I've seen them work all week and lose their whole paycheck on Friday night. Gambling. And be broke and poor as Job's turkey. The old saying is, for gambling. Run from it. It's not wise. I've been blessed that I've always been too stingy. Hey, something about the way I always worked, I just did not want to give my money to nobody else. Stealing. Boy, I tell you, we got to be careful with this one. If a man pays you for 8 hours of labor, you ought to give him 8 hours of work. Amen. I'll tell you what, a lot of Christians has had bad labels put on them, a lot of preachers, because they've been lazy and won't work. Jesus said, the Bible says, work as in you, as you're working unto the Lord. Because that's who we're going to give an account for. And if we didn't buy it, and we didn't earn it, then we don't need to have it. Lying. I got on this a couple weeks ago. I won't say much, but ain't nothing that tears me up any worse than somebody tell you something and you have to say, is he telling me the truth? Amen. My daddy said, all you got is your name, and when you lose that, you've lost everything. And that stunk in to me. And the last one he gave me, this is one of them little ones, I guess, gossip. It ain't gossip, preacher, it's a prayer request. Amen. If you got to tell somebody, Go tell the Lord. Go share it with Him. He already knows it anyway. I don't need to know it. Brother so-and-so don't need to know it. The Lord's the only one that needs to know it. Amen. But the Bible talks about God giving up in the book of Romans. In the book of James, he says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." He talks in the book of Romans about being turned over to a reprobate mind, being turned over to just your mind has lost all senses. There's no limits. There's no judgment. You've lost all conscience. Bible talks about your conscience being sheared with a hot iron. And these are things that happen. And there is your introduction. You may have to come back tonight to get it all, but after this went, won't be many back probably. But things are getting ready to change. And now we're getting ready to get into the good part of the story. This young man's life's getting ready to make a most drastic change that you've ever seen. It's getting ready to turn from darkness unto light. He's getting ready to make the biggest change that's ever happened. In verses 17 through 19. Well, let me read the first. He says, "And when he came to himself." Glory, hallelujah. I'm so glad of the day that I came to myself. I'm so glad of the day that it finally sunk in that, Tim, you're going down the wrong road. This ain't the way that you're supposed to live. That this is going to take you nowhere. Ain't you tired of being broke? Ain't you tired of a mess? Ain't you tired of this hard living? Don't you want a better life for yourself? I thank God for that day I came to my senses. And he came to himself. See, first here, I had the thoughts about the Father. He thought about the Father. And he said that if I went to my Father, he's got servants, and boy, I know good and well that them servants eat good. A lot better than I do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go home and I'm going to say, "Daddy, I ain't worth being a family, a man in the family. But if you just let me work for you, I'll be happy. I've seen how good you treat your workers." See, he knew he'd be treated fair. This is good qualities for dads. He knew he'd be treated fair. He knew he'd have compassion on him. And he knew he was trustworthy, that he could just throw himself at his mercy and he'd be treated well. He said, "To be a servant's better than this mess I'm in. To be a slave is better. At least I'll get fed and I'll have clothes put on my back." See, when we start down that road of sin, we never think about getting to this point. Oh, it's happy-go-lucky. You ever been where you think there's got to be a better way than this? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm so thankful as the thoughts that he had toward the Father, we have the same thoughts toward our Heavenly Father. He's going to treat you fair. He's going to have compassion on you, and he's going to forgive you of your sins. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that today? The second thing that I see, not only thoughts about the Father, but the trip to the Father. He came to himself. He finally opened up in Ecclesiastes 9:3. The Bible said, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, and there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of man is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." Jesus said in Matthew 3:2, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He thought about the Father. He thought how good the servants was living at the Father's house, and now he's wanting to go back. I believe that while he was running with his buddies, he probably said, "You know, my daddy's got such, you know, especially if somebody gets a couple of beers or something in them, they go to bragging." Amen? Maybe you ain't been around now, and I hope that's the case, but they go to bragging. I believe when he had a big time, he started bragging about his daddy. Then he's got to thinking about his daddy. Now he's saying, "I want to go back to daddy. I want to go back to that life. I want to go back." And Jesus said to repent. Repent means to be sorry and turn from what we're doing. To make a 180. Change completely. Change our thinking about our condition. And the Bible says, "And he arose and went back home." He arose by faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." So I want you to think a minute that he left and started back home and didn't have, by faith, he had to trust that his daddy was going to let him back in the house. See, if you remember when he left, he told daddy, "I wish he's dead. I just wish you'd go ahead and die." Now, he and I bet you on the way back, on that road back, and he's saying, "Man, what did I ever say that for? What did I ever say that for? Now I've got to go back and throw myself at His feet to His mercy because everybody else has turned against me and I don't have a soul. I'm going to die. This is it. This is the end." By faith, he went back. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we feel like we're at the end. I don't know about you, but I've been there. That I know what it feels like to say, "This is it. I have no hope. I have no joy, no peace." Well, let me tell you about a friend of mine that sticks closer than any brother. Let me tell you about one that knows how you feel. It's had the whole world turn against him and hung him up on the tree. He knows what it means to have his back turned, your back turned to him. And he'll love you like a brother. He'll pick up the pieces and help you through it. He'll be there on Monday morning. See, he went back. Boy, this is so good right here. He went back fully expecting to be a servant. I'm convinced that while he's on that way back, he said, "Well, I'll have to work hard, but there'll be some good meat and bread at the end of the day. There'll be some good water. And then when I get up in the morning, we'll have a big breakfast before I go back off to work." That's what he was expecting. You know what I've called the road from the pig pen back to the palace? Jesus Avenue. Praise the Lord. It's easy to find. Just turn right at the cross and go straight. And it'll get you there. Getting back to the Father. He's on his way back home. He's going back and didn't know what to expect. Verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father." But I want you to get this. But When he was a great way off, his father saw him. Praise the Lord, and had compassion on him. I like that word, but. You ever been in a conversation every time you start saying something, they butt in? That's what's going on here. We get on a little further. Every time when he tried to tell his daddy, oh, I'm sorry, and I'm a but. When he saw him afar, but. When he saw him afar off. Romans 5:8, but. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory, hallelujah. On the way back, when in the old have been in the pig pen and hadn't had a bath yet and smelled and had that stench, but he still loved me. But he still run to me. Aren't you glad of that today? Amen. This boy been to hogs. But when his daddy seen him, he ran toward him. Now, over in this area, in this day and time, wealthy older men was too dignified to run. They wore long robes. In order to run, you'd have to gird it up, they called it. Bring that up and stuff it in your belt. Dignified men didn't do that. Boy, when daddy seen that boy coming home, he lost every bit of dignity he had, Brother Jim. He went running to him. And the Bible says he fell on his neck. And he smelt like a big old hog and kissed him. This wording is he kissed him several times. And pretty much he slobbered all over him. Couldn't you see this reunion? The crying and the kissing and the hugging. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! This was the treatment of the father. He said, Dad, I'm no longer. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But I want you to look at verse 22. But. Woo, glory. I don't know about you, but that just jumped out at me and I studied this. But. Dad, I'm unworthy. I shouldn't be a son. But. That didn't mean a thing to Dad. He said then, bring forth the best robe. He probably didn't have a robe. He didn't have anything. Bring forth the best robe. And don't you catch something here. And put it on him. Had you ever noticed that? Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Not bring forth it and let him put it on. But put it on him. Glory, hallelujah. I could run and shout right here. When we accept Christ into our lives, there ain't a thing in our life we can do about it. He puts it on us. He puts on the robe of righteousness. We become then with that robe is signified as the robe of righteousness, as Jesus Christ righteous being put on me, on my earthly flesh, and I am then made righteous in the sight of God. And just like that boy come out of the pig pen, he put that fresh new robe on him, and it didn't matter. It changed him from then on. Glory, hallelujah. Then he said a little further, I'll try not to keep you long. I know everyone's got lunch plans. And he said, put a ring on his hand. This was a sign of favor. This was a sign of an unending love. He said, put this ring on his finger. And then he told him to put shoes on his feet. Boy, I like this part. Servants usually went barefooted. Sons didn't. He said, put shoes on my boy. Glory, hallelujah. Put your shoes on his feet. That he's not a servant. He's a child of mine. And boy, I tell you, when I come out of the pig pen and I made my way to the Father, he said, put the robe on him, put the ring on him, and put shoes on him. He's a son of the living Most High God. He's not a castaway. He's my boy. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that today? And he said, kill the fatted calf. Boys, we're going to have a party tonight. My boy's come home. My boy that I've spent hours and hours praying for. I've spent hours and hours watching for. See what? Tell me that the minute that boy come in to view, the Father seen him. What's that say? What do you think that means? He was looking for him. The whole time. And the minute he come into view, and he said, kill the fatty calf because we're getting ready to throw a party. He said, we're going to rejoice. And verse 7, the Bible says, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He throwed a big party. Older brother didn't like it. But he rejoiced that his son come home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, is there any that would lift up a hand and say, preacher, I've never been saved. I've never asked the Lord to come into my heart. Would you just slip it up and slip it back down now? I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I don't know the Lord. Would there be any that say, preacher, you kind of talked about me this morning. I've got away from the things that I know that I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be. Will you pray for me? Just slip that hand up if there'd be one in the house. Bless this hand. Is there any others? Slip it up and right back down and say, preacher, I'm really not where I ought to be. Just slip your hand up and right back down and say, preacher, I'm not really where I ought to be.